been 22 years since America was under attack. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News.
Wait, we're being told a second plane crashed into the building on the opposite end.
That's not an accident. That's on purpose.
And then a short time later, after terrorists flew two planes into the World Trade Center on 9/11, the Twin Towers fell.
I hope I live. It's coming down on me.
The third plane flew into the Pentagon, just outside Washington, D.C.
The youngest victim was just 3 years old. Lieutenant General Timothy Maude, an Army Deputy Chief of Staff, was the highest-ranking officer killed. A retired Rear Admiral was a passenger on the flight. Today, 184 memorial benches near where the jet struck the building are dedicated to each victim.
That's Fox's Jared Halpern. There will also be a ceremony near Shanksville, Pennsylvania, where a fourth plane crashed into a field when the passengers fought back against the hijackers. In all, 2,977 people were killed on September 11th, 2001. President Biden will commemorate the attacks in Alaska instead of being at a 9/11 site. He'll be with U.S. troops at Joint Base Elmendorf, flying there now after departing Hanoi.
It's unclear, though, why it had to be scheduled right now, like why he couldn't have come to Vietnam before he went to the G20. They added it on because he was going to be at the G20 in India anyway. We're kind of in the same part of the world. Why couldn't they do it before?
Fox's Peter Ducey in Vietnam, where the U.S. did enter into a new strategic partnership. North Korean leader Kim Jong-un is on a train to Russia to meet with leader Vladimir Putin amid concerns North Korea could supply the Russians with military aid to use in Ukraine. It's up to nearly 2,500 people dead in earthquake-devastated Morocco.
Right now, Moroccans simply don't have time to mourn. They are looking for loved ones under debris just south of here in the villages in the Atlas Mountains.
That's Fox's Trey Yingst in Marrakesh. America's listening to Fox News.
Hi, I'm Henry Winkler. My eyes are very important to me. My eyes connect me with things I love. I loved my late father-in-law dearly. He always lit up a room, but his vision dimmed with age. He had age-related macular degeneration, or AMD. And since partnering with Apellis, I've learned there's an advanced form of the disease called geographic atrophy, or GA. His struggle with vision loss made me want to help others know about GA's warning signs. For some, straight lines seem wavy, like when looking at a door frame. For others, blurry or missing spots can make it hard to read or see loved ones' faces. Many have trouble seeing in low light, making driving at night difficult. GA gets worse over time and cannot be reversed. If you've been diagnosed with AMD and notice vision changes, don't wait. Talk to your eye doctor about GA today. Learn more at gawon'twait.com. That's gawon'twait.com.
They think he's still in Pennsylvania, but Danilo Cavalcante is still on the run more than a week after the convicted murderer broke out of prison days after getting a life sentence.
We have always looked at the potential that it could be a nationwide manhunt.
State Police Lieutenant Colonel George Bivens, Cavalcante has stolen a van and changed his appearance.
He's clean shaven now. He's wearing a sweatshirt and a baseball cap. Pennsylvania State Police say he tried contacting someone that he knew from years ago, an old coworker. Sources say that that person did not help them. Authorities are now searching the surrounding area here in East Natmeal Township with helicopters and dogs. So far, the dogs haven't picked up on a scent of Cavalcante, which has many asking, how is this guy still out there?
That's Fox's Nate Foy. On Wall Street, rising stock futures suggest gains to start the week of the opening bell. In the NFL, they'll close out week one of the season with Buffalo at the New York Jets tonight. Jets now led by quarterback Aaron Rodgers, whose old team won without him.
Love has Jones inside. Aaron Jones racing to the end zone and is in! Touchdown, Green Bay!
New QB Jordan Love and the Packers beat Chicago 38-20 on Fox. On Sunday Night Football, Dallas routed the New York Giants 40-0. The other teams that won season openers, Atlanta, Baltimore, Cleveland, Jacksonville, Las Vegas, the LA Rams, Miami, New Orleans, Philadelphia, San Francisco, Tampa Bay, and Washington. At the U.S. Open,
make it 24 grand slams for Novak Djokovic. The Serbian tennis great beat Daniil Medvedev in straight sets in the U.S. Open final. The match included a hard-fought second set tiebreaker and pushed him more than the score indicated. The win ties Djokovic with Margaret Court for the all-time record, one ahead of Serena Williams' 23 and two ahead of Rafael Nadal on the men's side. With three Grand Slam wins in 2023, the 36-year-old is showing no signs of slowing down. Tim McMaster, Fox News.
In the NASCAR playoffs, Tyler Reddick won to advance to the round of 12. I'm Dave Anthony. This is Fox News.
Again, local news, I'm Jim Miller. Champaign Fire hosting their annual 911 Memorial Ceremony today. It'll take place this morning, 8:45, at the Champaign Fire and Police Memorial. This ceremony, it marks the 22nd anniversary of 911. The event's going to be held outdoors and the public invited to attend. Two Illinois brothers going to prison for taking part in the January 6th Capitol riots in 2021. Daniel Layden of Chicago sentenced to 38 months, while Joseph Layden of LaGrange a six-month sentence. Prosecutors say the brothers among the rioters who were illegally on the Capitol grounds, both pleading guilty to a felony charge. Illinois Attorney General reaching a settlement with Delaware Corporation accused of environmental violations of its Chicago bakery. A Cook County judge consent order requires Newlyweds Foods to pay a $755,000 civil penalty. Lawsuit filed after a 2019 fire destroyed three baking lines at the facility in Chicago's Hermosa neighborhood. You're up to date from the Stevie J Broadcasting Newsroom. I'm Jim
Miller. Hey, good Monday morning. There's Diane Ducey.
Hi.
I'm Stevie J, and good Monday morning. This is September 11. We got a lot to talk about when it comes to 22 years ago today.
Yeah.
Diane Ducey was there.
I was in New York City.
Gives a real unique perspective that we'll get into. And then, of course, I do need to obviously talk about Illinois, which was on Friday night, and it was, well, I'll get into it in a few moments.
Okay, sounds good.
Meteorologist Greg Solier is with us now, and I looked at the long range you're talking about, Bubba, and it looks like our weather firstly brought to you by Carl.
And Carl reminds you they're always looking to add to the team, and they've got great support and opportunities for you in all kinds of different categories. You can explore at carl.org/careers.
I see a lot of 70s for highs,
right,
for a while there.
This is like the warm spot of the week, and we're only up to 78,
how
right,
about
Greg?
That, man.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's right, guys. We've got mild weather today. A little bit of a cool off around here. A hint of just a hint of early autumn in the air as we head through the middle and late parts of the week. Another warm-up begins over the course of the weekend. Still think we've got some at least around and near 80-degree weather scheduled in here for next week. If not that, then it's the following week as we move back into a milder to warmer and drier mode. Good news for most everyone. Maybe our harvest folks as well enjoying that. Folks needing a little more rain, well, we've got a couple of cracks at it for the day today and a couple of sprinkles after that. And after that, there's just not a whole lot going on across our neck of the woods. So tropics are, responsible for this setup across the country. And, of course, Lee, as we talked about last week, maybe coastal New England, northern New England, and north from there as it interacts with a cold front and upper air trough. And so some shearing and weakening already underway on that particular system. 59 now at Willard and Savoy, 60 at Rantoul. And we've got some shower activity up towards the Kankakee, a little blob of rain into western Michigan, another one coming out of southeast Iowa. That's the stuff that'll get us here late this morning and into the afternoon with a few showers across the air, rumble of thunder, and about 78, 79 this afternoon on a southwest wind. Occasional showers tonight, either side of 60 for the low. Tomorrow, maybe a shower in spots early on, then decrease in clouds, afternoon sun, and a bit cooler high at 73. Could be a sprinkle Wednesday morning, partly sunny and 72. Low 70s for Thursday and Friday. Kickoff at about 68, 69 degrees. Clouds and sun, no rain on football Saturday. Could be a sprinkle Sunday at 76. And I think we're going to get pretty close to 80 around here going through next week. For Stevie J Broadcasting, I'm meteorologist Greg Solier.
Thank you, Greg. Appreciate it. It's Monday, September 11. I don't know what was the day, September 11.
I feel like it was a Tuesday.
Michael Jackson concert with the night before.
That's
when you were
right.
There.
That's right.
We'll get into all of that 9/11 and remembering. And I was there 20 years ago today on the second anniversary. We were broadcasting, overseeing the hole that was 9/11.
Right.
And we were live at ABC Radio at the time. Anyway, we'll get into detail all that. I do have Brett Bielema to play. I can't spin the Illini. I love Illinois. They're my team. Brett Bielema is my guy. I don't care if he loses the rest of the year. I really don't. I think he's the best football coach we've had in a long time, and I think he knows what he's doing, but he's got to get involved. It's time for him. He kind of is the CEO, and he lets his guys make decisions. He's got to get involved because our defense is something's not right. We have too much talent, I think. So I went from massively disappointed and truly embarrassed watching Illinois to massively disappointed. So we dropped the embarrassed because second half was a little bit better.
Okay.
But holy cow, it wasn't competitive. We've been there before on this, and it's just so hard because we worked so hard to get to this minute.
Mm-hmm.
Fox Game Day dropped us, He's going to, of course, run to Colorado.
I know. That was supposed to be at noon on Saturday.
Well, I mean,
and the game's at 11.
Still is. It's noon Eastern.
Oh.
11. But we don't have the focus on us anymore. And
right.
Had we beat Kansas, I mean, Penn State's coming in as a 15-point favorite. I mean, that would have been 7-6.
Okay, gotcha.
But now it's like, uh-oh, what's wrong? We can't stop a swing pass.
Mm-hmm.
Linebacker play has not been very strong. Our vaunted defensive line, I mean, again, we made some adjustments a little bit better in the second half, but the game was over. And I couldn't watch. I couldn't take it. I've seen it. I've seen this.
Okay. PTSD started twitching as an Illini fan.
When you know you can't stop the opponent, and you would say, they're going to get this, and they did, and they're going to score, and they did, and you've been there. So, listen, Brett Bielema knows what he's doing. He's going to make adjustments. I don't know if we can compete against Penn State. I just don't know. I don't know. I think we have talent because that's what I've been told. But the schemes might be wrong. I don't know. I don't know enough about football. Except everybody's disappointed. Can't imagine the coaches and players and everybody. It just wasn't what we saw. This was supposed to be a Las Vegas coin flip game.
Mm-hmm.
And it was anything but. And so it's hugely important that your team is always competitive. When you get creamed, it really discourages everybody. And then guess what people are saying? Yeah, I knew it. It's that. But we've kind of been through the ups and downs so much. That's why when I said 4 weeks ago, all I want are 6 wins. I don't care about January and Florida and 8 wins. I want 6 this year.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think it's critical for the growth of this program to get to 6 and say we can go to a bowl game more than once. Because all the good teams go twice and then 3 times and then 10. And I mean,
yeah.
So did Iowa, Wisconsin, all these teams that we aspire to be like. Anyway, it was a bummer, and there's no way to spin it, and I can't spin it. And so let's just get back on the horse, had an extra day to prepare. Penn State coming in Saturday at 11. It's going to be a
And they're ranked number 7. Ohio State's still at 6. The top two are still Georgia and Michigan.
Yeah.
So Big Ten still very strong. Iowa crept into the top 25 and number 25.
Blah,
so
blah, we, blah, 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 blah.
Well, we've got some contenders in the Big Ten. And here we are. I don't even know what conference Kansas is in. Is it Big 12 or something?
Yeah, Big 12. Yeah.
And then, you know, a MAC champion, Toledo.
Wait a minute. Everything is off right now.
Okay.
I don't know how good Toledo is. I don't know how good Kansas is.
Okay.
I know that Texas beat Alabama, and I know that Texas is going to play Kansas.
Yeah, Texas bumped up to 4.
And I know that Kansas quarterback isn't going to do squat against Texas because that defense was real. That was crazy how good Texas looked against Alabama. So it's a new wave. I don't know what Nick Saban's going to do because I think he's done dominating with everybody being able to pay people. He's done dominating.
You're right. So now, Alabama bumped down to 10.
Now, Alabama's a good football team, but they're not going to be in the Final Four.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it's, what is it, 8, 12, whatever it is this year. 8. Anyway, 217-359-2255. You can text us with any thoughts as we go along about Illinois or 9-11.
Mm-hmm.
Happy to hear what you're thinking today. Also, I want to know what Jay Layman thinks. He'll be on from 3 to 4. Remember,
oh, boy.
I think the common thought is, well, we lost to Indiana last year. After we lost to Indiana, I was fired up. We lost, and it was a horrible loss and maybe controversial loss because a bad call. But we lost to Indiana, shouldn't have lost it. We lost to Indiana. It's like, oh, no. I felt great.
Okay.
Remember, I came in Monday and said, we're going to a bowl.
Yeah, that's right.
We're going to a bowl. Jay Layman went on that day and said, this is great.
Okay.
I don't think it'll be the same today.
I see.
I think that's what happens with expectations. We got the best front 7 in the world. We're better than the Cowboys. I mean.
Okay, so Penn State's a morning game, and to me, that kind of deflates things. The fact that we had 6:30 start against Toledo, we had the momentum, we have 49,000 fans. I mean, it was a great opener.
There'll be a pretty good crowd because people bought tickets for it.
Okay.
It's going to be muted. It's going to be a little arms folded, hopeful, but Penn State's really, really good,
mm-hmm.
and I think they're way better than Kansas and way, way better than Toledo. So that's kind of where I am. Good morning. Nice to talk to you.
All right,
15 after. Love to hear what you're thinking. 217-359-2255. Sports headlines.
So, St. Louis Cardinals, Redbird recap now.
Yeah. Got to find it. I think I was just...
I get it. It's a lot.
And we're in Baltimore. Oh, here it is. I found it.
Okay.
Yeah, I got Brett Bielema ready to go. I got some 9/11 ready to go. So here's our... We are obligated to play the Cardinals when... Then they're playing a little bit better.
Okay.
Doesn't really matter, but they're playing.
Right.
All right, let's go.
With Ricky Horton, I'm John Rooney, and we're in Baltimore today where the Cardinals open up a three-game series, the last stop on a three-city trip. And it has been a successful trip for the Cardinals, who won 2 out of 3 in Atlanta, 2 out of 3 in Cincinnati. However, the Cardinals were one hit yesterday by the Cincinnati pitching staff led by Hunter Green, and the Reds won 7-1.
Andrew Kisner base hit kept it from being a no-hitter from the Reds' point of view, and the Cardinals just couldn't get anything going against Green and three relievers for Cincinnati. The Cardinals gave up several more home runs, 17 home runs in the first 6 games of the road trip. They're going to have to fix that here in Baltimore.
Yep, the Cardinals have won 4 and dropped 2, and tonight it's Dakota Hudson on the mound at Baltimore.
He's been a winner. He's 6-1, and Dean Kramer's got 12 wins on the other side.
We'll be on the air at 4:40 Central Time. Ricky will have the lineups and go over our pitching matchup at 5:25. I'll bring you the first pitch around 5:35 Central Time from Camden Yards.
The Cardinals Hall of Fame and Museum is the official home of Cardinals history. For those who want to be a part of one of the sport's greatest collections in the world, museum membership is the way to go. Cardinals Museum membership provides unlimited admission for 1 year, exclusive Hall of Fame bobbleheads, discounts, ticket offers, and more, in addition to supporting exhibit design and artifact restoration. There are a variety of membership levels, including our ultimate level of membership. For more info and to join, go to cardinals.com/membership.
Cubs win 5-2 yesterday.
Finally, I mean, Arizona got them 3 in a row.
I know.
So I'm going to give you
a 3 out from Milwaukee on top of the Central Division.
Is that what it is, 3?
I think so.
Okay.
And we've got Colorado. So it's at Colorado, 7:40 start. Jordan Wicks on the mound for the Cubs, who did great last time, and Kyle Freeland for the Rockies. And when it comes to the Chicago White Sox, Detroit won 3-2 yesterday. Now they've got a series starting up against Kansas City on Chicago's south side with a 6:40 start. Dylan Cease on the mound for the White Sox. Well, NFL action. You could grumble about that too, but your Saints actually eked out a win. Boy, that was tight.
Boy, the Bears, though. I mean, I
know.
I didn't
38-27.
I mean, that
Jordan
was...
Love did good for the backers.
Yeah.
3 touchdowns.
I don't think the Bears saw that coming. Neither did I. I thought that was at least a really close game. It was 38-17.
Right.
So that it wasn't as close as the final
score. At least towards the end.
It doesn't matter toward the end. You get creamed.
That's what you keep telling me, even though all I saw was the Kansas score, 34-23 over Illinois.
Wasn't close.
And I was thinking, oh, well, that's something.
No, it was better.
Because I was up in Milwaukee all weekend with my daughter Gabby's birthday coming up. Dallas on the Giants, 40-0 last night. Buffalo Bills and New York Jets tonight.
Weather brought to you by Urbana Park District.
And they remind you, they've got a salute for the Wandale Sculpture Garden and a jazz walk coming up on the 15th, Friday night. Learn more at urbanaparks.org.
Hello again, everyone. The next weather system knocking on the door to the north and west of us. We'll overspread the area with some shower activity as the day wears on, and in particular later this morning and this afternoon. And instead, well, a very quiet and comfortably cool weather pattern takes us through the rest of the week. Quiet sailing weather-wise into the weekend, including football Saturday, by the way. High temperatures there will be in the low to mid-70s, and it's a warmer, drier weather pattern that gets going into next week as well, with opportunities for some early season harvest and maturation of the back 40 as well into next week and beyond. Today, increasing clouds, up to 79, some shower activity and a rumble of thunder later this morning and this afternoon. A few more showers tonight, down to 60. Maybe a shower threat early tomorrow. Decreasing clouds, may cooler at 73. Could be a sprinkle early Wednesday, partly sunny and 72 with lower 70s for highs Thursday and Friday. Up to 75, clouds and sun for the day on Saturday. Maybe a sprinkle on Sunday with highs again into the 70s. Still some 80-degree weather potentially in here for the beginning part of next week. For Stevie J Broadcasting, I'm meteorologist Greg Solgay.
BC Bank, leading the way to your financial wellness. No matter where your financial journey begins, Pathways banking options at BC are designed with your goals in mind. BC Bank, building strong financial futures, one family, one street, one city at a time. Proud to be the official bank of the Fighting Illini. Member FDIC.
I'm Elizabeth MacDonald, and this is the Fox Business Report.
Grocery delivery company Instacart is expected to start trading next week on the NASDAQ under the symbol Cart. Instacart is marketing its stock launch to investors this week. The company plans to offer 22 million shares at an estimated price of $26 to $28 apiece, raising about $594 million. Instacart is formally called Maple Bear Inc. Though the largest initial public offering of the year is expected to be British chip designer Arm. Meta Platforms is developing a new, more powerful artificial intelligence system. Facebook's parent company wants to create an AI system to be as capable as OpenAI, the Microsoft-backed startup that started ChatGPT. That's your Fox Business Report. I'm Ginny Cosola, invested in you.
I'm Dana Perino, co-host of The Five and co-anchor of America's Newsroom. Join me for my brand new podcast, Perino on Politics. Listeners of Everything Will Be Okay will gravitate toward this podcast too. Every Monday, I'm going to talk to people I trust in politics as they tell me what they're seeing and thinking in the 2024 election cycle. As they prep me to cover the upcoming election, they'll prep you, the voters, too. Make sure you subscribe to this series on FoxNewsPodcast.com or wherever you download podcasts and leave a rating and review.
Tabman's Towing, team of experienced tow professionals, is seeking others with CDLs, previous tow experience, and or strong interest in serving others. Please visit our career page at tabmanstowing.com.
As the summer temperatures rise, make sure your energy bills stay low. Call Dogtown Heating, Air, and Plumbing to upgrade to a high-efficiency Lennox air conditioner. Dogtown offers financing, including 0% no interest for qualifying customers. And if you have rooms in your house that don't seem to stay cool, call and ask about the great rebates on the Daikin and Douglas mini splits. Call Dogtown Heating, Air, and Plumbing at 217-841-4728. Dogtown Heating, Air, and Plumbing, your home's best friend.
Short-term market fluctuations can be unnerving for everyone. A proven way to tune out the noise and focus on long-term investment goals is to adhere to a well-constructed investment plan. This is Rob Meyer with Provident Financial Group. If you don't have a plan, we can help create one designed specifically for you. Call us today for a complimentary consultation at 217-366-3456 or online at providentfinancialgroupllc.com.
Securities and advisory services offered through Commonwealth Financial Network, member FINRA, SIPC, a registered investment advisor.
Hi, I'm Tyler Weaver, president of Carpet Weaver's Flooring and Furniture Gallery. Take a look around your home. Is it finally ready for some much-needed updates? If you don't know where to start, then just meet with one of our experts. We'll help you find the perfect waterproof plank floor for your kitchen or that stain-resistant, super-soft carpet for your bedroom. Finish your room update with a custom sofa and chairs, or choose a trendy in-stock dining set that's priced right. Come home to Carpet Weavers, where floors, furniture, and family meet.
Let Max Twin City Recycling pay you for your junk metal items. As the weather begins to heat up, now is a great time to put cash in your pocket for the steel, copper, brass, and aluminum items you've been meaning to get rid of. We've recently added a large concrete pad to make unloading quicker and cleaner for our customers. Visit us on North Lincoln Avenue, just north of I-74, or at maxrecycling.com.
Tabman's Towing, team of experienced tow professionals, is seeking others with CDLs, previous tow experience, and or strong interest in serving others. Please visit our career page at tabmanstowing.com.
All right, here's Brett Bielema, Illinois football coach, after our loss at Kansas Friday night.
Yeah, it's on our heels, I think, a little bit. And, you know, some things schematically we're going to have to take a really close look at. Obviously, when you play an early season opponent, they have the entire year to look at your film. So I think in the first two games, it's very evident, right, that some of the things we need to do, especially on the defense side of the ball, just look at closely what we're doing, how we're doing it, and be able to make plays. I think you take the second half, and obviously we made some adjustments, did some good things, but there was enough things that we did poorly in the first half that I think really put this game in a tough spot. But if you look at the end of the half, you know, we give up a 7-point swing there with under 40 seconds. If that touchdown isn't on the board at the end of the game, it's a 4-point game. As bad as we played, as bad as the breaks, like there were several. Again, their guys made some plays defensively. Ball's batted around. That ball just fell in their hands on two different occasions. You can't beat a good team overcoming those moments. So not positive. I thought a couple guys defensively really took a challenge and played extremely well. It's good to see Xavier make that play in the end zone shot. Good to see Johnny make some plays. I think we got to look at, you know, specifically what we're doing on the end of half. That's two games in a row we've given up a touchdown in the final minute, and obviously you're not going to win a lot of games doing that. The good news is we don't start Big Ten play until next week, and some really good learning lessons out here for us. We got an extra bonus day tomorrow as coaches. We'll take a really close look at that. We're going to come in on Sunday. We have a good day of corrections and a good jump on Penn State, and we'll go from there.
Okay, well, again, it's Penn State, and again, now, right now, you're coming up Friday, you're going, oh, we're going to get creamed. But then, you know, you get, so our expectation going in is,
yeah.
So I'm saying if it's third quarter, 10-10, crowd will get into it.
Yeah.
That's what you're hoping for? I don't know.
Right.
Right now, I'm not sure. I was confident coming in. We had a lot of good stuff. And I'm not sure anymore. It's rocked me a little bit from the standpoint of how good are we, or are we just finding our way? I don't know.
11 a.m. kickoff on Saturday, September 16th. It's hail to the orange out, so wear orange. Thanks to Game Day Spirit for providing so many great deals this week. As you stop by either location or go online, gamedayspirit.com, and they've got 10,000 orange rally towels being handed out from the Central Illinois Toyota Honda dealers. So it's going to be, you know, a fun atmosphere.
No, I think it will. I'm just saying it'll be muted to start. It's going to have to show me that you can be competitive in this game, or it's going to be an early departure. That's what's going to happen. So yeah. That's why you got to get through halftime and be a fairly close game.
Yeah.
And be competitive in the second half, where you might just be going, wait a minute, you can't do, and what happened last week? We're going to compete. All right, so it'll rev back up. I've been doing this a long, long time, and I know my crowd. This crowd will go in, show me, and if it goes bad early, it'll be an early departing crowd. They'll stay for the marching Illini, and then that'll be it.
What about the freaky fast between third and
I want to see that again because I was entertained. Red was really fast.
I stayed for that, too.
Me, too. Now, you got to be
Jimmy John's race.
We're right now, the fans are on the edge of giving up already. That's what happens when you've had our history. Up and down. Oh, say Sugar Bowl. Nothing. Rose Bowl, nothing.
And then
follow it up.
Yeah, and then you start talking about the basketball team at the tailgate.
I've already heard when's basketball start.
Okay,
yes, I have. Actually, I have.
Oh my goodness!
I'm telling you, Friday night was a balloon popper. It's such a shame. You didn't have to win. You had to be competitive, and it wasn't. And it was like, oh no, please no. It was that bad.
Going up to Milwaukee to see Gabby, I was just like, let's go to a sports bar. I want to watch this game.
Me too. Everybody did.
And, you know,
we all did.
They didn't have ESPN2.
But you can't give up on the team. I'm telling you, Brett has gone through the rigors of this thing and knows how to make adjustments. And I think he's got a young coaching staff, a new defensive coordinator. So we'll see what we look like Saturday. I'm very optimistic that we'll be surprised, as we are often so far in the third year of Brett Bielema.
Mm-hmm.
You're saying, oh, we suck. And then all of a sudden, well, where'd that come from?
Yeah.
So I'm hoping that's it.
That's right.
But I'm nervous because this is a really high-level football team coming in that won't make a lot of mistakes. So they're going to be tough.
It'll be good for Lonte and Derek Piper to visit with Luke Altmaier and Brian Hansen of State Farm Insurance. BrianIsMyGuy.com, Crossroads Contractor Supply, the right tools when you need it, Dogtown Heating, Air, and Plumbing, your home's best friend, and First Federal Savings Bank, trusted and local, all involved in that conversation.
Appreciate our sponsors. Mm-hmm. Now, Jay Layman, first hour from 3 and 4, I'm very anxious to hear what he thinks and what he says.
Yeah, because he doesn't. Very insightful.
He's also very candid.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to hear from Jay after 3 on his Monday show, and then 4:05, Luke Altmaier, who I think has done a really, really good job. He got sacked 6 mm-hmm. times. Where's my line? I thought was so good. And then he ran 72-yard touchdown. How fast is Luke Altmaier?
Okay.
So, I mean, I like him. I like what he looks like, but he goes back to pass, and it's just like, ooh, he got sacked again?
Oh, no. I'm glad he's so resilient, was able to run it in.
He ran 72 yards.
Mm-hmm.
That was a long run. I can't. Kurt Kittner maybe ran one leg. I mean, it's been a long time. Quarterback ran for a touchdown.
Wow.
So, we will hold on to hope and believe we're going to come back and be better and all those good things.
Illini volleyball team lost in the Irish Invitational. They'll have Bradley on Tuesday. They've got long wake on the road.
Mike Small's golf team won.
Oh, yes. That's
unbelievable.
True. I had the story up. There's a freshman, Max Hendrickson, that was golfed really well. So
I mean, again, they go out to the West Coast in Washington, and they win.
That's right.
I mean, it's a head shaker how good Mike Small's program is.
217-359-2255 if you want to contribute to the show.
We'll be right back. Talk 9-11 next. ESPN 93.5.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. It's September 11th, 22 years since the deadliest attack in American history on American soil. President Biden will mark the occasion with service members in Alaska. He's on his way there now.
The trip's schedule has been a test of endurance for sure. After arriving in Vietnam from the G20 summit in New Delhi yesterday, President Biden held a press conference where the fatigue was not ignored.
Staff, if anybody haven't spoken to... No, I ain't calling on you. I'm calling on you. I said there are five questions.
Earlier today, President Biden met with government and business leaders. A focus during this trip has been expanding the U.S.-Vietnam relationship and strengthening Vietnam's semiconductor industry. To do so would be in the hopes of chipping away at China's stronghold on the sector. But the president maintained that this is not about hurting China.
Fox's Alexandria Hoff. North Korean leader Kim Jong-un is reported to be on a train on his way to Russia. America's listening to Fox News.
Here's a look at local news. Menard County Sheriff's Office trying to find the person who was impersonating a police officer. Deputies got a report of a suspicious car operating blue and red lights on Ingram Avenue near Anthony's Blacktop Road. Driver and passenger reporting a large white truck followed them with an interior flashing red light and exterior flashing blue light activated. Illinois State University's freshman class this year, the largest in 36 years. ISU welcomed more than 4,100 freshmen to its student body for the academic year. Total enrollment, nearly 21,000. That's a 4% increase in new freshmen and a 1.5% jump in total enrollment. Authorities revealing the identity of a man who was beaten to death last week in Decatur. Macon County Coroner says Marvin Meyer Jr. died from blunt force injuries. He was attacked September the 1st in the 1600 block of East Wood Street. Meyer died while undergoing surgery. That's what's happening. You're up to date from the Stevie J Broadcasting Newsroom. I'm Jim Miller.
Hello again, everyone. Let's check weather for eastern Illinois. Champaign and Van Nuys vicinity and so much needed rainfall showing up to the north and back to the west of us will overspread the areas as the day wears on. Last vestiges of this weather system may take until early Wednesday before moving out completely. Apart from that, pleasantly cool weather with a hint of early autumn in the air. A recovery on temperatures expected over the weekend and a warmer, drier weather pattern for outdoor work and prepping for harvest operations due in for next week. No issues for football Saturday. Sun and clouds and temperatures in the upper 60s at kickoff time, about 11 o'clock on this Saturday, late morning and afternoon. For the day today, though, increasing clouds, a couple of showers, thunderstorms breaking out, the highs close to 80, and a southwest wind that stays on the light side. A few more showers tonight, rumble of thunder early on, low down to 60. Tomorrow could be a shower threat early tomorrow, decreasing clouds, a bit cooler at 73. Sprinkle Wednesday morning, partly sunny in 72, with lower 70s and dry skies next Thursday and Friday. Dry weather for the weekend with highs in the 70s. For Stevie J Broadcasting, I'm Peter Greg Soldier.
Well, it was a bright sunny day in New York City 22 years ago today.
It was a Tuesday.
It was a Tuesday. Mm-hmm. Okay. So Tuesday, September 11, I was on the radio at the time. Dave Lone was doing sports.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a little TV in the studio, and I looked at it, and I saw this little, what looked like, it was a long-distance shot. Like a Cessna Piper had hit the top of the World Trade Center. I said, it's a clear day. I don't know how that would have happened.
Right.
And I interrupted the sports, and we talked about for just a brief moment. And then it was 7:46 our time, 8:46 Eastern time. And then right at the top of the hour, we went to the CBS News. I think it was CBS News at the time. And Chris Bragg, the commander, we called him.
Yes.
He was the
producer of sorts.
And we both were watching the TV, and we both saw the second plane hit it live. And my heart sank, and I said, this is bad.
Yeah.
And so all day we worked at, you know, covering the news angles of it and trying to figure out, have somebody out at Willard Airport. They grounded all the airplanes. Mm-hmm. We had a flight going to Philadelphia that were grounded at Willard. All the planes came out of the sky by order of the president. The president was in a schoolroom talking to children in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
Andy Card, his chief of staff, came up to him and whispered in his ear, Mr. President, we are under attack. And so the day started. The president was essentially in some bunker somewhere, and then they felt it was safe to get him back to Washington. He made daily calls to Governor Pataki and Mayor Giuliani, and the world watched him. Phone calls that were kind of three split screens, and we all watched what the president said to the governor and the mayor, Governor of New York, Mayor of New York. And we endured the day, and I remember vividly getting everything, all the boxes checked, making sure we were doing our job on what we were trying to do for local radio. And I turned around in my chair and just started weeping. And I just cried. I still think about that. And I said, why am I crying? I said, because my kids have to deal with this for the rest of all of our lives.
Yeah.
And that's true. And we are, aren't we?
It changed the world forever.
It just really, really did. And so I didn't know there was actually a video of the first plane, but this is kind of the natural sound. There's people in the street, and somebody has a camera pointed at the World Trade Center. Maybe it's a tourist or something.
Right.
And again, it's 8:45, 8:46, exactly when it hit. And just an iconic, you know, World Trade Centers, the Twin Towers. I mean, everybody loved to go see them. And
I had been there the morning before.
Yeah, we're going to talk about Diane's experience actually being at the World Trade Center the day before for lunch. Yeah,
that's right.
There it is. I mean, a crowd looking up, obviously shocked by what a plane hit the building. How did that? And that began everything. And it was just unbelievable that how can you use an airplane like a kamikaze like the Japanese did in World War II, but it was a passenger jet, four of them. And the two hit the World Trade Centers, the third one in Pentagon, the fourth one presumably the White House.
Right.
In Shanksville, Pennsylvania, where, mm-hmm. you know, Todd and his buddies said, let's roll.
That's right.
And they went up and they were able to overtake and crash the airplane.
Because they had gotten a call on the flight from their loved ones saying, you know, something's happening.
I mean, if you think about it, what would have happened had we not had cell phones? Because certainly the Pentagon would have been hit, you know, maybe there were just clues that things were happening because of the cell phone.
Yeah.
And then, of course, who knows what would happen in the fourth target. But these were people from Saudi Arabia that had come to America to train to be pilots. And they wanted to learn how to take off, but they weren't interested in learning how to land. It was devastation for the United States, devastation for the world. I remember thinking there were 50,000 people in that region that day, and only 3,000 some died. I mean, if you think about it, that's probably unbelievably low,
right,
based on what could have been, based on where they hit and the time they hit. But it was just unbelievable. So Diane and Mike had just been married and were in New York for their honeymoon, and you went to the Michael Jackson concert. You were in the World Trade Center the day before.
That's right. My niece, Sharon Jamokowski, lived in that area, was going to Pace University, and we were down in that area and, you know, was in the basement of the World Trade Center, and just such a beautiful day and visiting. And actually, there's a picture of us when we took the Staten Island Ferry. And, you know, those were actual pictures on a camera back in the day. And it says 91001 in the corner with the little yellow digital numbers with Mike and I posing in the World Trade Center. Such an awesome, you know, part of the skyline. And then to be, you know, packing to go home. We were heading to LaGuardia later that day, and to see it ourselves in the hotel room. Now, the hotel that we stayed at was near Madison Square Gardens, where the Michael Jackson tribute was going. So that's why we were packing up and ready to go. And everybody was so confused. They wanted people to leave the hotel, and then we were a little on the stranded side. You know, our cell phones weren't working. There were so many towers on top of the World Trade Center that I actually used a payphone to call the radio station. I think our receptionist, Karen York, had mentioned that there was like 80 calls that had come in asking about my whereabouts and if I was safe.
Right. I mean, New York been hit and Diane was there.
Yeah, and it was pretty well known that I was having a honeymoon in New York City at the time. So I appreciated my listeners caring about that. And I was, you know, glad to get the news to everybody that I was safe. And we ended up renting a car because we stayed with my friend Andy Warfel from high school, who actually couldn't get across the bridge. It was such a strange experience to have no subways, no bridges, no, you were stranded on Manhattan.
Yeah, everything shut down.
And we were watching a reporter on a national news from in front of a car rental place, and they're waiving the one-way fee, so tourists who are stranded here on Manhattan can leave.
But there were lines of people, so there weren't enough cars.
That's right.
For everybody wanted to rent.
And that's why there was so much negotiation in line with these total strangers. You know, someone said, I'm going to, you know, Texas, can you drop me off in St. Louis on the way or whatever? That sort of thing was going on. Mike and I ended up getting our own car, though. We were a little nervous about that 14-hour drive back. But my daughter Gabby's birthday on the 13th, we definitely wanted to be back for her.
Yeah.
I think it was her fifth birthday then. So just such a strange time, but it's such an interesting place to be. We went to St. Patrick's Church there and prayed with so many others. And those steps and that whole area around the church had so many faith-based tourists praying together. You'd be talking with people on the street, you know, when you're waiting for a traffic light saying, wow, what's going on? Did you see that?
Yeah, I know.
And most of us gathered around like TV places that have TVs or had a TV in the business to see what was going on. I think it was about a mile away where we actually were.
Did you smell the dust from where you were?
What we saw was some of the vehicles coming out of there with a foot of rubble on top. There were a few people that we saw with dust covered.
Yeah.
There was a black gentleman with dust all over, you know, his hair and his eyes, where he had glasses and he had his glasses off and it looked like he had goggles on.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
You know, and you just walking like a zombie, like what just happened?
Yeah. No, it was devastating, and we'll never forget. We never should forget it. We need to remember this so that it doesn't happen again.
And health responders with the health issues still.
Well, we don't know what the actual count is, I guess. If there's 3,000 plus that died, how many died from cancer and health problems because of the cleanup? And these first responders, they just went.
Yeah.
They weren't worried about masking, or they just went. And there were some amazing stories, some miraculous stories, people in there stranded for a week and still lived.
Yep.
And so... And so 2 years after that, 20 years ago today, I was broadcasting live from Ground Zero and overlooking what were then, they'd cleaned it up, so there were two holes. And so we were talking to all these people that were cleaning up, and it was unbelievable, their courage and their passion to do that. They wanted to be there, and they didn't care about the masking. They didn't care about that. They had to help their brothers and sisters.
Yeah.
And so it was 2, 3, 4 hours, I think 4 hours, however many hours we broadcast from there. Mm-hmm. It was so compelling to hear these stories and just lined up of all the firefighters and police and people that we had that were right there and were still right there, and that the constant construction. And now we have one big Freedom Tower up in the place of the two Twin Towers. And the country... for a moment was nearly all united. I mean, we were all united against trying to figure out what had happened. And George W. went to the rubble and said, you can't hear me, huh? Well, they're going to hear from us real soon. Mm-hmm. You know, that kind of, and then you can get into the debate of, you know, Saddam Hussein had weapons of mass destruction. And then Colin Powell convinced the UN 16-0 was the vote. Everybody voted for it. There were no weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. And we went to Iraq and did that. And then we took out the Taliban in Afghanistan. And then, you know.
Yeah, Osama bin Laden was, you know.
Yeah, shot.
Shot.
But that took years.
Yeah, that's right.
It was Barack Obama made
Obama,
that.
Obama, yeah.
So that found him in Pakistan and the upstairs and all of that stuff. So. But it was such an unbelievably horrible day and so much to deal with forever. It really was. Nathaniel was like, 8, and the triplets were 3, yeah. That's 4.
Yeah, when you had the young ones, it really brought it home on, wow, our lives are changed forever.
Yeah,
and if you want to have a moment of reflection today, we'll have a firefighter from Champaign, Todd Hitt, on with us inside the next 10 minutes. But Westside Park has that memorial for our first responders, especially spotlighting those who gave their lives from Champaign's Fire and Police Department. And Westside Park, in that corner there near, is that University and State Street, State Head South? I believe that's it. So if you want a moment of reflection, that ceremony is actually at 8:45 this morning, but you can go by at any time today.
Yeah. So again, any comments, reflections at all, 217-359-2255. If you would like to text in this morning about anything regarding 9/11, it again was... something I'll never forget. And I went to the museum there, which is stunning, amazing, unbelievable. Like, I don't know how many hundreds of hours of video and, you know, phone calls saying goodbye. I mean, it was brutal. It was really, really hard. I actually walked out after a couple of hours. Yeah. I can't do it anymore. I've been through this. And I've heard a lot of, you know, the testimonies and the things, and I just didn't want to. I was done. But it was so worth going to.
Yeah.
It's so compelling. But you know, it was a very difficult deal for a whole bunch, all of us. I hope. I mean, should have been. I fear if something like that happened today, I'm just not so sure. I think there'd be a core of people that say yay. I mean, you know, it's just unbelievable to think we're that divided.
I know.
But there are some real. You want to talk about haters? There's real haters of America in our country right now. And I think there was a bunch of communist Marxists that burned our flag in a small town. They said, we did do it in a small town, that kind of thing, in our face. And so we have to endure and get through stuff together as a great country that we are. Indeed, a great country. All right, 217-359-2255. We'll brief you a little bit what's going on in Westside Park here in about an hour. Stand by. Welcome to Sarah Champaign, where your dream car awaits. With an exquisite selection of top-tier vehicles, impeccable service, and unbeatable prices, they are your ultimate destination for automotive excellence. Experience luxury, performance, and style like never before. Visit today and drive home in the vehicle you've always desired. Sarah Champaign, Honda, BMW, Subaru, GMC, and Buick, your journey towards automotive perfection starts here. Visit them at Sarah, S-E-R-R-A, Champaign.com. The Blossom Basket Florist has been in business since 1954. In the last 25 years, the Blossom Basket Florist has processed over 535,000 orders. That's 21,400 orders per year. With that type of volume, they know they have satisfied customers who just keep coming back. Find out why their customers love their designs and customer service. From simple to simply magnificent, they can design for any type of event. Visit them at 1002 North Cunningham and Urbana or online at blossombasket.com. All right, 7:48. Todd Hitt, how are you?
Good morning. I'm doing great. How are you?
Well, fine. Remembering 22 years ago today, 9/11, where were you on this day 22 years
Absolutely.
Ago?
Absolutely. Well, it was an off-duty day for me at the fire department, I was driving down Bradley Avenue by our station 3 up on Bradley, and things were getting a little crazy, and I stopped in to start to watch the television with the guys, and we watched the first plane go into the tower, and I stayed there the rest of the day. It was a very sobering moment, for sure.
Yeah, and you're just wondering why, who, what, where, I mean, what's going on, you know, all that. We just didn't know. I mean, it was just a bigger deal than 4 planes. We didn't know. So what are we doing at Westside Park in an hour, Todd?
Westside Park, listen, you know, Champaign Fire Department and the Honor Guard have vowed from the very beginning to never forget. So every year, September 11th, typically somewhere around 9 o'clock, we try to do time in the past when the first tower fell type thing. But it's just this short remembrance of September 11th. I'm 58 now. Listen, this was our era's Pearl Harbor, you know. And, of course, the folks in the fire service remember the 343 firefighters that died in law enforcement, Port Authority, and all of that. It's a very important day that we should never forget. So we invite the public. We want everybody to be there.
Yeah, and I think, too, it just stunned us that you would hit, you know, women and children and civilians and in New York City and the day and weekday when people are at work. I mean, it was
unbelievable.
And it really still is to think the concept of the desperation and the mindset that would just want to kill humans just because we're so evil. And to have that, it is hard to still for me to even wrap my arms around.
Exactly. Until today, you know, we were honored, the Champaign Fire Department Honor Guard traveled out to New York City the following year when they had their memorial parade. It was a whirlwind trip. We spent driving out there nonstop, out at 3:30, 4 o'clock in the morning to line up for the parade. And I was actually one of the 343 firefighters that got to carry an American flag, representing one of them that had passed away. And we marched all the way to Madison Square Garden through New York City, Times Square. It was a very, you know, emotional event, obviously then, and it still is today.
Well, and just, again, it's today, if that happened, I fear there would be a core of people, not one or two, that would blame America. I mean, we're in such a crazy time, it doesn't make sense at all. But, it's just,
you know, the rabbit hole you can go down for 9/11 is incredible. But the bottom line is, no matter what happened, we lost all of those responders and civilians and kids that day. That's what happened. You know, so why it happened, I don't think we're going to.
2000.
I know, but.
Yeah, 2,977 people lost their lives that day, 343 firefighters and 22 police of Port Authority officers.
But the thing about you guys, Todd, is that you go right at stuff. I mean, you know, you never know. You hope you say you're going to do it. It's my job to do it, all those things, but you're still human. And there's still going to be some fear that you're not going home tonight. But there wasn't any hesitation with these first responders. Just went in, police and fire, just went in.
Even after their initial, you know, size up, you know, look at this skyscraper, the World Trade Center, we have a plane in the side of it, you know, but we're still going in. That's what we do. A lot of training goes into doing what we do, right? Still, at that moment in time, we're there to help, and that's exactly what happened.
Yeah, but again, you can't train for that. I mean, that was real. Well, I mean, and you knew they had to know going in. They probably they're not coming out. I mean, it was just unbelievable.
Right.
What bravery, though, and how many lives did they save? And then I talked to first responders 20 years ago today. We were broadcasting live from Ground Zero, and all these guys coming in, there's no mask, and they didn't care. They were just going to get their.
Well, that's the other part of the tragedy. You know, we mentioned the 2,000 that died, but all the people that died that next year, you know, years later from all the cancers that are being caused by working on that pile, and so many people, you know, it was chaos. It was chaos for months there, not even knowing who was working on the pile at first. But it was all about finding people and hopes to find somebody alive.
Well, and nobody's tried to come up with a count of after effects, have they? I mean, because that'd be thousands more, right?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. As far as I know, I don't know the number a lot. I think we can safely say. It was tragic. Of course, we were there the year after, and it was still very fresh. And New York City, you've been there. It was a different world a year later. Every firefighter, anybody typically had seen on the street or when you came in contact with was, you were wearing a cape. It was very humbling be treated that way, but it didn't matter. Riding the subway, here's our money. No, fellas, you are on the train. You know, to Carnegie Deli. You eat at Carnegie Deli? It's not in there anymore, but, you know, cut in line. You're first in line. Get in there and eat.
That's great.
You know, just the way the public reacted brought everybody together, you know, 22 years later.
Todd, give me the details again. What Honor Guard and the bagpipes again? Less than an hour on our way. West Side Park.
It is West Side Park. forgive me, I'm years. It's 9 o'clock start, correct?
It's 8:45 is when people are going to start gathering, and the ceremony will begin. And and when you play the bagpipes, Todd, it's just so moving.
Yeah, Zach and I, we will never miss this event. Our honor guard will never, and the Champaign Police Department. We have vowed. In fact, we were questioned years ago. At what point do we stop doing this? And of course, my immediate answer was, it'll never stop. We will always have an event on 9/11 at Westside Park. Regardless of anybody else's participation, the Champaign Fire Department's never going to forget this event. And we hope the public does it as well, and that's why we do this. It's for the public as well. Typically, the church bells will sound, a short ceremony with some speakers. And we end it with the firing volley from Champaign Police Department Honor Guard. And Zach and I ended with the Maiden Grace.
Well, we appreciate you, Todd Hitt. Thank you for everything. Your retired Champaign Fire Department, Todd Hitt. And thanks for the briefing. Thanks for speaking this morning. Appreciate you.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me. Appreciate you guys.
You betcha. All right. 7:56.
Remember on 9/11, I know there's a memorial stair climb happening for the 110 stories, how many floors that those firefighters had to climb. And some of the firefighters that are involved in this in Virginia are putting their full gear on.
George W. Bush was our president. He was number 43 following his father, who was 41, and in between Bill Clinton. And George W. had been in office, 8 months when this all happened.
I want you all to know that America today is on bended knee in prayer for the people whose lives were lost here, for the workers who work here, for the families who mourn. This nation stands with the good people of New York City and New Jersey and Connecticut as we mourn the loss of thousands of our citizens. I can hear you! I can hear you, the rest of the world hears you, and the people who knocked these buildings down will hear all of us soon.
That was right at Crown Zero in the rubble, famous George W. Bush. He's standing next to that firefighter. I wonder what ever happened to him.
Yeah,
he was a little older guy with the helmet on. The president went down to Ground Zero and spoke those words. And
amongst all the rubble, they got the American flag up. I mean, it was really a patriotic time. I remember getting my flag out and putting it up.
Yeah.
And I've been there ever since. I still have the flag on my house.
And I've felt, close to New York City. I mean, I just feel love for New York City. Been there several times, and just I think we all feel connected in some way.
Yeah.
But and then we were trying to play World Series, and that was delayed for days. And W went out and threw the first pitch, and that was very emotional.
As we got back at it.
Yeah, tried to get back at it. All right, going to break for the news. 217-359-2255. You want to text us this morning? Any thoughts? We'll be right back.
I've got to clean out this garage. Let's see. What's the cheapest and easiest dumpster service in our area?
Here's what I found. The doggy bag.
Think she's broken. I'm not looking for takeout. Siri, try again.
The doggy bag from Bulldog Disposal in Mahomet.
Doggy bag? What's that?
If you got junk that needs to go, but you don't want the hassle of having an enormous dumpster delivered, grab a doggy bag, keep it as long as you need. They'll come take it away. For more information, just visit BulldoggyBag.com.
That's BulldoggyBag.com.
When we put family first, we create moments that last a lifetime. We pass memories down through generations. But we can all declare, I remember when.
Far side, right. Pat Bryant. touchdown. Isaiah Williams turns upfield. 45, 40. Trouble, he's sacked. Seth Coleman.
It's your turn to create these memories. Illinois football season tickets are on sale now for as low as $99 at FightingIllini.com.
You're listening to WSJK ESPN 93.5 Tuscola, Champaign-Urbana, your home for the St. Louis Cardinals.